Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Jacqueline Sova, and today we will be studying Perek Tazayin, Chapter 16. This perek sheds some light on why Moab deserved destruction and what they could have done to avert this catastrophe. We learned last perek that Moab was responsible for the destruction of the Jewish kingdom. The Assyrians attacked the Jews on the other side of the Jordan River who lived near Moab. Instead of providing shelter and protection, Moab proactively assisted in Am Yisrael's destruction. This is why they deserve to be annihilated. Moab thought siding with the Assyrians would protect them from harm, but they too eventually became the target of Assyrian attacks. The Malbim notes that with this nevuah, Yeshayahu was telling Moab how to avoid total annihilation. When Sancheirv will turn against Moab, Moab should turn to Am Yisrael for help, a sign of subjugation and humility. You, Moab, put your trust in the Assyrians at the expense of Am Yisrael. Now that you are at the receiving end of the Assyrian attacks, turn to Am Yisrael for help, showing how wrong you were for betraying them. Asking for help will be a testimony that you admit to wronging the Jewish people. Asking for help from the very people they tried to destroy is humiliating. This humiliation will be critical to their moral development. Yeshayahu promises that if they can humble themselves, Malchus Yehuda will have compassion and let them into their land, like their forefather Abraham would do. But we will see that Moab's arrogance and pride will get in the way of their own good, making them responsible for the national downfall. This disassociation between Moab and Klal Yisrael started years earlier. Yeshayahu discusses where the threads begin to unravel between Moab and the Jewish people. Shilchu kar Moshel Eretz misela midbara el har bas Tzion. The ruler of the land should send sheep from Sela to the desert to har bas Tzion, which is the Beis HaMikdash and its surrounding area. When Ahav was king, decades earlier, Moab would regularly send sheep and wool as a mark of respect for the Jewish king. But when Ahav died, Moab rebelled and stopped sending these tributes. In our Pasuk, Yeshayahu is encouraging the Moabi leaders to start resending these sheep to the king of Malchus Yehuda, which they had not done in about 150 years. According to the Metudas David, following this advice would prevent an attack from Asher on Moab altogether. If Moab reassociates with the Judean kings and resends sheep and wool as tributes, they can avoid destruction. The Radak, though, believes this pasuk is talking to Moab at a future point, after they've already been attacked by Ashur. Now that you have been put in your place and humiliated, perhaps you will realize it is time to send the tributes to reestablish a relationship with Malchus Yehuda, with Chizkiyahu, who is a strong and honorable king. The Jewish people do not need their animals. It is about a recognition of the significance of the Jewish people. V'haya ka'of nodeid kain mishulach. And it will be like a wandering bird, an abandoned nest. Yeshayahu described Moab as a bird who will no longer have a nest, with nowhere to go. We can sense this being a direct punishment for ignoring the plea of Jews who were escaping Sancheirv's attacks. They too were like birds, sent away from their nests, with nowhere to go. But Moab, you could have taken the Jews in. And because you fail to have compassion and sympathy, you too will be like them, birds driven away from their homes with nowhere to go. The irony, of course, is that Yeshayahu just told them they can have somewhere to go. If they reevaluated the way they treated Am Yisrael, they would be taken in and saved by Malchus Yehuda. But they refused to humble themselves. This is what Yeshayahu means when he says, Havi'i Eitza Asu Falila, bring together a plan, form a judgment. In other words, think and make a wise decision. And the wise decision, he continues, is Shisi Kalayal Tzilech Besoch Saharayim. Make your shadow as if it were night in bright midday. Meaning, hide the Jews who are running away so well that they cannot be found. Satri Nidachim. Hide the fugitives. Nodeid Al Tigali. Don't reveal the wanderers. If you save the neighboring Jews as they run from Sancheirv's attacks, you too will be saved. Remember, Avraham saved Lot's family from total destruction. We would expect Lot's descendants to have tremendous gratitude to the Jewish people for this. But instead, they outrightly rejected the chance to help and save Jewish lives. Moab could have welcomed these fearful Jews with warmth and hospitality, but in ignoring their needs, they planted the seeds for their own destruction. The Razak understands this pasuk to mean that the Jews were like people in the scorching hot sun who needed shade and protection. Moab, you could have been the shade for them. You could have hidden them, but you failed this moral test. Moab tried to find shelter and protection from Ashur. Ashur will prove to be disloyal. But, says Yeshayahu, there is a leader you can turn to for loyalty, justice, and peace. This leader is, of course, Chizkiyahu. V'huchan b'chesed kisei, then a throne will be established on loving kindness, v'yashavala v'emes b'ohel David, and he will sit upon it in truth in the tent of David. Shofate v'dorish mishpat u'mihir tzedek, a judge, one who searches for justice and hastens righteousness. Of course, the irony is that David himself is partially a descendant from Moab, who was born from Rus. Rus rejected her Moabi culture and reached for a godly life, which created this Ohel David, the Tent of David. What culture was Rus rejecting? What is the tragedy of the Moabi people? Shem'anu ge'on Moab gei ma'od, ga'avaso u'ge'on no ve'evraso lo kein badav. We have heard about the arrogance of Moab, so very conceited. Its arrogance and pride and anger. Not so are its lies. It is solely because of your deep desire and arrogance that you refuse to save yourself and the entire nation. Yeshayahu is clear. Rekindle a relationship with Malchus Yehuda. Save Jews when they need you. Humble yourselves. Repay your tribute. Your nation will be saved. But they could not acknowledge Malchus Yehuda. They could not lower themselves to ask for help from Am Yisrael. They could not resend tributes. And so their arrogance paved the path for their annihilation. Lo kein badav. But all the overconfident talks were really all big lies. It was all a facade. When Ashur attacked, Moab quickly crumbled. They collapsed into nothingness with one huff and puff from the enemy that blew the entire nation down. Al kein efkeh. Therefore I will cry. To some, Yeshayahu is speaking for the Moabi people, that they will cry. But others continue to see that these tears are Yeshayahu's. He is still so pained by the thought of such a destruction. We did not find such an emotional reaction to Babel's destruction. Why is Yeshayahu so emotionally connected to Moab? On one level, Avraham treated Lot like one of his own sons. In some ways, we see Lot continuing in Avraham's ways. So the relationship goes far back, and it is painful to see how far Lot's descendants went from those original values he learned in the house of Abraham. But Moab is also our shared parent to Mashiach. David HaMelech came from Rus, and Mashiach will be born from David. Rus, of course, was a convert, but a convert from Moab nonetheless. The potential for a partnership and collaboration were there. There was an inherent kesher nafshi, a physical and emotional relationship. But with this prophecy, it's clear that that dynamic is no longer possible. Al kein me'ai l'moav, kakinor yehemu. That's why my insides moan for Moav like a harp. Rav Hirsch has a beautiful understanding of these words. The word me'ai is part of the dynasty of Abraham's children. At the Bris Bein HaBasarim, when Hashem promised Avraham his children will be like the stars, Hashem said, Lo yirash chazeh, ki masher yitze mimei'echa, hu yirashecha. This one, meaning Yishmael, will not be your inheritor, but the one who will spring forth from your innards, he will inherit you. Mimei'echa is the same word in our pasuk, me'ai. Rav Hirsch understands that me'ayim is the internal part of people where emotions rest, specifically empathy and compassion. Hashem is telling Avraham that his true descendants will naturally have this care and concern for others. Some things can be taught through education, but Rav Hirsch feels this refined character is harder to impart and comes mime'ayim from being the children of Avraham. This is why Yeshayahu feels so much for the Moabi people. Unlike Bilam, Yeshayahu is pained for the downfall of others, even Am Yisrael's enemies. He is a true child of Avraham Avinu. The parak ends with the following. Ze hadavar asher diber Hashem el Moav me'az. This is what Hashem spoke concerning Moav from then. Rashi brings two understandings from what it means me'az, from then. Many years before this prophecy will occur, Yeshayahu is getting a nevuah about Moab's downfall. Me'az, from then, means from the times of Yeshayahu. We do need to realize how incredible these prophecies are. Decades earlier, Yeshayahu warned of their downfall, and it really came true. It should inspire us of the power of nevuah. The second is that Me'az is from the time that Balak hired Bilam to destroy the Jewish people. Ever since that attempt to curse the existence of the Jewish people, they deserved to be punished. In Bereishis, Parak 12, verse 3, Hashem promised Abraham, Va'avarcha mevarachecha u'mekalelcha aor. Those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. The Parak now comes full circle. Remember, our Parak began by telling Moav to start sending the sheep tributes to Malchus Yehuda like they used to. Now that message makes sense. They deserved a punishment because u'mekalelcha aor, because their ancestor Bilam tried to destroy Am Yisrael, and those who curse the descendants of Abraham will themselves be cursed. The tikkun, the teshuva, would then be va'avarcha mevarechacha, to bless the Jewish people, to recognize and acknowledge their greatness by sending the tributes. And once they do that, they too will be blessed. Yeshayahu is telling them that they still hold the power to save themselves, but their pride and arrogance got in the way. And so the parak ends with Yeshayahu telling them they will have a few years of quiet before the downfall begins. Yeshayahu wants them to be better and reshape their destiny, but he also realistically knows their arrogance, making it hard for them to humble themselves and save the nation. Thank you for studying Le'ilo Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Stender.